Good evening, everyone. It's Gordon, W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Well, that is the right answer, as I always like to say. And I do like to say that, by the way. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Set meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955 MHz. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. This repeater can be accessed with a 141.3 PL and a minus 600 kilohertz split. So that is about having a conversation about amateur radio. That conversation is about amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, the natural sciences and phenomena that support the behavior of our hobby, or the radio frequency spectrum, wherever we may want to operate. It's about what we've done with the operations. It's about what we've done, what we've aspired to do, and what we never want to do again. It's a conversation, as I said. We need everybody to participate so we can have the fullness of that conversation. So we do take check-ins in kind of a unique way. This conversation goes something like this. You log in with when your call sign group is called, but with your call sign, your name, and you indicate whether you have a question or comment, for sale or swap or wanted item, or indicate none of the above. Again, even if you're not going to have a specific contribution, your presence is a contribution we'd like to know. So we can kind of steer the net along ways that might be good for you. So with no further ado, let's start with stations whose call signs begin with the letter alpha. AC2GI, good evening, Rich. And what's your pleasure, sir?
Tonight, just listening. No comments, no questions.
Oh, by the way, thank you for that package the other day. That was certainly interesting. And haven't gotten it all to work yet, but apparently others have, and I just haven't had a chance to. This is kind of a busy week for me, as I'm sure you know at this point. Alrighty. Any other else? Alright, let's go on to the ever-popular Novembers. N2NBR. N2NBR, go right ahead. What's your pleasure tonight?
At the moment, just listening.
Okie doke. Very good. Any, gee, I'm just getting this keyboard to be level on my desk seems to be a challenge tonight. Alrighty. Very good. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, let's go to the Whiskies.
Good evening, Gordon. This is W82UNP, Jim in Pearl River. Just listening this evening.
Okay, Jim, welcome aboard. Got you there. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Two comments.
Okay, I got Don with a comment, W2JEK. And I got Steve, WI2W, with two comments. Got you, Steve. And are there any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Norway, Portugal Radio. Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Good evening, Hector. Very good. We got you squared away. Any other whiskeys?
With Charlie November, the name is Rick in Bloomingdale, just listening.
Okay, be advised, the echo link is down, just for everybody's benefit. was hoping to hear from Noel tonight, but for whatever reason, the K2FJ access didn't seem to be working. Alrighty. Rick, I got you. Welcome aboard. Just FYI, everything we've been working on has worked out. Just as a backgrounder. And let's see. Are there any other whiskeys?
U2S, Randy, Washington Township, with one comment and one question.
Good evening, Randy. Got that one comment and one question. That's all good. And any other whiskeys? Alrighty, let's move to the Kilo 2s.
A 2 EIR, Howie and Tim. No comments, none of the above.
Okay, Howie. Very fine. Got you. Welcome aboard to you as well. Are there any other Kilo 2s?
K2BAR. This is K2ZO. One comment and no questions. Thank you.
Roger, Jim. Got you covered. I see we're going to have a lively net tonight. This is good. All righty. Any other Kilo 2s?
This is K2ZC. Dave, no questions or comments.
Okay, very good, Dave. Welcome aboard. And there was a station who doubled with Dave. Will that station please come forward again, please? K2BAR.
This is K2OOL, and I'm just checking in from Clifton.
K2OOL, like the call sign. What's your name, please?
Name here is Artie. Good evening to the net. Thank you.
Very good, Artie. Are you an IE Artie or an ARTY Artie?
Either way. No, I like IE. Messing around with a scanner here, I heard your net. I was like, woo!
Every Thursday night, 9 o'clock on this frequency, so I'm glad you're here. Welcome aboard. In case you didn't catch it, this is the Bergen Amateurity Association Technical Net, and it's open to all amateurs. Very good. Well, we're glad to have you here. We might come back to you in a moment, just because you're new, so just stand by. Any other Kilo 2s? All right, how about all the other Kilos?
Kilo 2, okay. Bennett here. Questions at the moment. Mobile.
Farm officer, this is George. I have a question. Good evening to the net.
Alrighty, let's see if we can get some sense out of this. I heard Bennett, and no questions or comments, I think. Then I heard a George. I don't know who George is. And then I wasn't sure what his intentions were. So, George, why don't you come back again and let us know whether you have questions, comments, for sale swap or wanted items.
Okay, this is George, Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Uniform Oscar. I want to thank Rich for the invite tonight, and I have a question. Thank you.
Very good. Kind of curious which Rich. Maybe it's AC2GI. My guess is yes. But alrighty, we'll get to you in a moment. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
KD2CWW, just listening and learning.
Good evening, Chris. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilos? Alrighty. We got two stations we've never heard from before, so I'm going to get to them real quick. Just K2OOL. Artie, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit, and the derivation of the call. We get the imagery, but what was the reason for that? And prior calls. What are your interests in ham radio? What are your aspirations in amateur radio? If we could just have a little bit of background on that. And maybe, if it's relevant, what you do for a living. K2OOL, K2BAR.
K2OOL?
Yes, you do.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I just picked up a BTV 436 and I was programming it in a custom search. And your repeater came up. Came up with the tone and everything. Pretty neat. Yeah, but I've been doing radio for a while, but right now I'm using a Beofang GT3. And seems to be good enough for me. Back to you.
Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, very good. And KD2CO, George, hold off on your question, but just introduce yourself a little bit. Where are you from, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
This is George. I am from Westfield, New Jersey. I was actually just at the Barra Show, the Hamfest this weekend. Mr. Rich is in Rich Carter. That's the gentleman who invited me to the Met at lunch today. I was asking him some questions, and only been in ham for probably about 2 years now. Just dabbling a little bit, and I just had a question on some new equipment I just purchased.
Well, we'll get to you soon enough. Maybe a bit, but we'll get to you. It won't take that long, I don't think. Very good. Well, thank you for coming aboard, both of you. It's always good. Are there any stations who have not yet checked in and want to check in? Alrighty, well, no further ado, W2JEK, Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Net control?
Station, go ahead.
Mike Charlie, Terry, Orange, New Jersey, no traffic.
I'm sorry, Terry, we doubled partially. What was your call again?
Kilo Charlie 2, Mike Charlie, in Orange, New Jersey.
Roger. Welcome aboard, Terry. Good hearing you again. And you checked in before, I think. We've operated both here and other repeaters. Very nice. Okay. Oh, great. Welcome to you as well. Alrighty, without further ado, W2JEK, K2B Air.
K2BAR, this is W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, I run the Barrows VE test sessions. We just had one at the Hamfest, and the next one we'll be having is for Friday night on June 20th at the Westwood Regional High School at 7 p.m. And this is the last one we'll be running in June, because the school will be closed in July and August, and we will have another one in September, but I haven't any date for that. However, if you've been anybody been studying the tech exams, this will be the last one we'll be running in June. And the tech question pool will be changing as of July 1st, so if what you've been material for the current exams becomes obsolete. So if you've been studying that material, you'll have to make one of these, make a test session before the end of June, ours or somebody else's. If you're coming, please bring some kind of ID, like a driver's license or a passport with a photo on it, or two forms of non-photo ID. Test fee is $15. If you don't have a license, you'll need a social security number, or you can go to the FCC and get an FRN number. Those who are already licensed will have an FRN number on your license. We want us, if you come with, if you have a license, please bring the license and also a copy of the current license. And if you bring in a calculator, the memory has to be empty, and no cell phones or iPods or anything can be used as a calculator, just a strict calculator device. I think that just about covers it, unless somebody has a question. And again, this will be a June 20th at 7 p.m. Now, the only problem we might have is I think they're having graduation that night at the high school. If the park, if it's too crowded over there, we might have to move to the Township of Washington's municipal building. We can get access to that, but as of right now, we're going to the graduation, I believe, will be outside, unless it really rains or something, but we'll be indoors. But if we do have to move the site, we will have somebody over there to let people know. So that's about where it's at right now. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, very good. Are there any questions for Don?
This is George, 82CUO in Westfield. I was curious, I'm assuming if I am ready, I will be able to take the extra exam that day?
Yes, sir, you would.
W2, yeah, we give all exams. We give all exams, the tech, the general, and the extra. We give them all. And if you've been studying for it, by all means, come along. We're glad to have you.
Anything else, Mr. George?
That's it for George. Thank you.
Anybody else have any comments or questions for Don?
K20.
Gotcha.
Don, I'm looking at the school calendar here. You said that graduation is on the 20th?
I think that's what you told me. I know you had mentioned something about that, over.
Okay, the reason I'm saying this, I'm looking at the calendar and I don't see it on there. I'll check it out. It's funny, it's not listed. Perhaps they did. Oh, no, wait a second. No, it's not the 20th. It's the 23rd, okay? It's the 23rd. It is on the calendar, and it's on the 23rd. So you should not have any problem, because I'm looking at the 20th, and that day is clear on the calendar. But the 23rd, that's a Monday, is 6:30 p.m. is graduation. So perhaps they had it on that other date. I don't know, but it's not there now. Okay? Back to that.
Yeah, okay, Jim, good. That takes a load off my mind, because I was thinking that we got a mess over there with cars all over the place and getting people in and out of there. We'd get them back over to Borough Hall. That would be a problem. All right, but unless there's something else that has changed, we'll keep it as we have it for the 20th. Thank you. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Jim, for that clarification. My son's graduation is Saturday. I know. I think Joe's, St. Joe's, is Sunday. I think Bergen is Monday. Bergen's Monday. I think so is Primus Catholic. So this weekend. Under the category of 180 days is not a Mexican quality education. Grin. Anyway, it is one of making sure, however, that we get the daycare we need. Alrighty, with no further ado, let's go to Mr. Steve, WITW, K2BAR.
This is WITW. Evening, everybody. Had a lot of fun at the flea market on Saturday. Great ham fest. Lots of neat stuff, a lot of good stuff. I saw a lot of boat anchor type gear in really nice shape, some Holocrafters and Collins gear if you're a collector, and not too much junk. It was a lot of radio stuff. The Dave and Gary, father and son team, had a whole row of connectors and cables and ferrites and miscellaneous stuff. I came back with a bag of goodies from his setup, so it was a great time. Anyway, that wasn't one of my two comments. The first comment is the Barra meeting coming up this Sunday night. We have a very special guest. His name is Les Kalmus, and his call is W2LK. He's going to give us a nice audio-visual presentation on a de-expedition that he was part of to Campbell Island within the last 2 years, I think. He also just returned from cut short the expedition of Mellish Reef, so maybe he'll answer a few questions about that, although he's not ready to present on that one. So it's going to be a really good Barra meeting on Sunday night, 7:30 at the Senior Center. I'd get there early in the Township of Washington. So that was announcement one. And announcement two is the Barra VHF contest is going to take place in about 2 weeks on the 14th and 15th of June. and we operate from the top of Clawson Mountain at the old Nike Communications Base, which is now Nike State Park. It's right next to the Tappan Zee Bridge, and it's a very nice high location. We run kilowatts on 2 meters and 6 meters, and a couple hundred watts on 220 and 440. So if you want to come out and have some fun, we could sure use the help for setup and teardown. And if you just want to come up and check things out and sit down and make a few contacts, you're more than welcome. And you don't need to be a Barrow member to do that. So everybody's welcome. You can check the Barrow website for more details, or email me at wi2w@arrl.net for more details. And that's it for this go-round. Back to net, K2BAR, WITW.
Very good. Anybody have any questions about that?
820.
Mr. Jim?
I just wanted to comment about Les, W2LK, a great guy. And he's going to be at the Barra meeting on Sunday. Go to his website, go to QRZ, and take a look at the picture of their setup on a beach at Melish Reef. And he has some comments there about what happened with the cyclone chasing them off from that the expedition. And it'll be interesting if you really hope we get a good crowd for him, because he's going to have a real good presentation, not on Melish Reef, but the one on Campbell Island. Back to that, K2ZO.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a fun presentation. I must confess, I will be unable to attend because I will be attending the wedding of KC2NZC and his bride, Nino. So if you'll forgive me for my absence, but I think it's going to be great. And could you just repeat his call sign one more time, please?
Okay, it's W2LK. That's Les. And as I say, go to QRZ and just take a look at the pictures there at the QRZ.com. He's got the information, and he also has the information on the Campbell Island, the expedition, so you can see a little preview of what's coming up at the meeting.
Very good. Yeah, I'm just putting that in the notes for the email that will follow. By the way, just as a reminder, we are putting the notes in our attendance roster of the meeting of these nets on the ComTech group email distribution list on Yahoo Group. So there's a resource you want to be apprised of, or you want to contribute related to a topic or that might have been discussed at the, during a net. It's ComTech group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa. All is one word, ComTech group. That's the Yahoo group name. And you can sign up for it either by going to Yahoo and asking to be added, or you can simply just shoot me an email at w2ttt@arrl.net, and I will cheerfully add you as a member of the group. And you'll get all the distributions. You can also look through the old emails. They're all in there archived. The other thing people should realize is that our nets are recorded at amateurradio.tv. Amateurradio.tangovictor, and you'll see right on the front page the references to the Barra TechNet, and alongside the Limark TechNet and the New Jersey Transit Authority Net and a few others. And if you, there's even the last few nets will be there, as well as a link to go into the historical archives. You go back, look about 8 years worth of nets. It's pretty impressive. So for something you want to listen to. Some are better than others, but it's all good. You can always use that as a podcast. So with no further ado, let's see. I'll go to Randy with a comment and then a question. With Uniform 2 Sierra, K2BAR.
Gordon, good evening to everyone on the net. Quick comment on our progress with the local mesh network. We set up a mesh network in support of the Fairlawn Memorial Day parade. Seemed to work very well. We got excellent coverage. We were using a variety of Ubiquiti equipment, and again, got good connectivity, and we had a mobile setup, a mesh network station with a webcam in one of the cars. So related to that, too, the comment is, I think we didn't get as good coverage with that as we'd liked. I think the next thing we need to try with the mobile cams is a Ubiquiti Wi-Fi node with maybe with a Omni antenna with some gain, and use that to support the webcam and do it in a couple of cars, and we should improve our coverage. But we're making good progress, and we're covering some decent distances. Back to net control.
Yeah, we were half a mile. That was pretty cool. And we had the node space tighter than that because the mobile nodes were, you know, a little less powerful, to say the least. But it was very good. Worked out very, very well. And in any case, that would be very, very good strategy. I also received a request today from Fred Schlesinger, WW2 Victor Echo Hotel of the Red Cross in Fairfield. He'd like a demonstration of the mesh for the professional staff and the senior volunteers at the Red Cross, so we're going to be asked to go do that. I said either later in the summer or in the early part of the fall, giving us some time to frankly just do what we got to do. And later in the summer may be a bit of a challenge, depending on what goes on with the fair. Let me also take a second about that. The State County Fair is going to be August 15, 16, and 17, and 18. So 4 days, Friday through Monday. And to make it a little more exciting, we're going to have the VAMFO rally on Sunday the 17th. So we are looking for operators for both these events. Obviously, the Friday and Monday are evenings. Saturday and Sunday are day and evenings, mostly afternoons and evenings. And the VAMFO rally is early morning until late afternoon in various combinations. So whatever floats your boat, but love to have volunteers for any and all of that if possible. In any case, you can send me an email for that too as well, w2ttt@awrl.net. In any case, let's go to your other topic. Actually, is there any other, anybody have comments for Randy about mesh networking and some of the applications we've come up with? All right, well, that's good progress. I'm just going to add one other point before you go to your next thing, Randy. Well, I'll let you go first, and then I'll come back if necessary. Your next was a question, so I guess you're moving on. But the beta code with the version 2 protocol for both Linksys and Ubiquiti is now available for testing. And so hoping to get on with that test sometime next week. As you know, with graduation and with wedding, my time's been a bit busy, so I haven't gotten to it. And I don't know if, Randy, you've had other requirements on your time as well, but we'll get to it soon after. But I do want to acknowledge that Steve, WA2BYX, was our mobile operator in the parade, and Carl was our major domo, getting it all organized. He was our liaison with the parade officials, WTKBF. And it's all good. So with no further ado, back to you, Randy, WU2S, PTBAR.
Thank you. Yeah, so my question is related to a discussion I had last Friday at the Fair Lawn Club, and that's about making sure that ground connections on a vehicle remain clean and low resistance, and there were suggestions about a number of coatings that one could use to keep the connections clean and in good electrical contact. And so I've run across a suggested compound called NOOXID, NOOX-ID, and then it's followed by A special. Apparently there are different formulations of this NOOXID from, and it's from Sanchem Inc., S-A-N-C-H-E-M, a chemical company in Chicago, apparently. Anyway, so the description of this NOOXID A special seems to be exactly what one would be looking for, and I was wondering if there was anybody on the net that was familiar with it, as well as how this compound would compare to something more familiar like Penetrox, which apparently is only formulated for aluminum connections, but I may misunderstand that. Anyway, so my question is again about oxidation protection for things like ground connections on a vehicle. WU2S, back to net control.
That's a good question. Anybody have any experience with NOOXID?
W2JEK, Gordon, did the telephone company, Wilson people, used to use some kind of a compound or something on some of their connections that they were putting together on the power distribution, where they had these copper bars connected together for copper bus bars for the high current power supplies. Over.
Okay, anybody else?
WI2W.
Steve?
I've used it in antenna assembly, both on my current C3SS and on a previous TA-33 that I had. And I put it in between the sections of tubing that make up the antenna. And basically it keeps the water and moisture out, fills the gap to prevent corrosion or oxidation, hence the name. And it keeps the sections free, so when you go to take it apart, you're not wrestling it apart. It comes apart more easily than if you didn't have it. I wouldn't say it's easy, but more easily than if it wasn't there. And that's my only experience with it. I've never used it on a power or grounding type connection.
You know, what I've read on grounding connections is you should weld the connections to the ground, to the ground rod. I don't do that, but CAD welding is very common, and maybe something to think about, depending on the environment. Certainly in salt environments I might consider it, but, like anything else, your mileage may vary, but I just make it a practice of checking my grounds every year and opening them all up and closing them back down after a little, brush with whatever it needs to be. But anyway, by the way, it's 1-0 Rangers with about 30 seconds left in the first period. They just scored. For those who are not rooting for Montreal, you can all be happy. Anyway, anybody else have any thoughts on these kinds of materials?
U2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Mentioned I have a DX engineering catalog here, and they have a lot of stuff. They have a copper cleaning kit, which presents, I guess that cleans it for bonding, and to maintain a low resistance. Does everything needed to establish the bond, and then they have a thing called never seize and anti seize, and these prevent galling and galvanic corrosion, protect metal parts against rust, corrosion, and seizure. They have a, something else called jet lube, and this is for making metal-to-metal connections on outdoor gear. JTSS Pure Copper is both an anti-seize lubricant and a conductive termination compound. And there's another one called Loctite Copper Anti-Seize, prevents seizing and galling by applying this to your studs, bolts, flanges, and tubing. Safe for copper, brass, iron, plastics, and all steel alloys, including stainless steel. This Rust-Oleum's got something here called Never Wet, and it's a two-step coating system that puts a creates a watertight surface that resists moisture. So they do have stuff out there. I don't know what this quite the same as this Naloxone, but maybe does the purpose. I don't know. Back to that. W2JK.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
W2LCN.
Mr. Rick, go right ahead.
You know, I think I might have spurred some questions about the whole grounding issue because I'm trying to set the mobile rig up, and I know that the ground is of critical importance. But you mentioned something that caught my attention because, as you know, I do a little bit of welding, but I have never heard of CAD welding. What is that? Give me some more details on that. I'm interested.
Well, they make these, you know, for when you have a, let's say like a number, pizza number two or double odd or whatever size cable, it's mechanically bonded to the top of the ground rod, and then there's this special little use once gizmo that you apply to it. And actually, I don't know how they're triggered, but essentially, I don't know if you hit them with a hammer or what, but basically, they create a superheated environment and weld the two pieces of material together, forming a low resistance, no corrosion kind of bond between the two pieces of material by making them one. So what you may want to look at is CAD weld grounding as a Google search. You might find that to be useful. Charlie Alpha Delta, Whiskey Alpha, Whiskey Echo Lima Delta, as one word.
That is great stuff. Thank you very much. I'll check that out. It's interesting. It sounds like that thermite stuff they use. I don't know what they use it for or how they use it, but I'll check that out because I have to do the grounding of the cables to the frame of the vehicle. And right now I just got a screw going through them, but Bill and a few others have all mentioned different things, and it's NOx is something I got to look into. So I got to come up with a solution. But I'll send it back over to K2BAR.
That is the geothermite.
Yeah, it is. It, look up, just Google Cadweld 1 space shot, and about the third or fourth item down, you'll see Cadweld electrical grounding and bonding. I think you'll see more than you want to know.
You're JK.
Mr. Don, and thank you, Jim.
Also, right on the same page in the DX Engineering catalog, they have an exhaust system grounding kit. They have four different sizes. There's a ground strap, and there's kits for two and a quarter, 2.5 and 3 inch exhaust pipes. And they also have other ground straps, 1 foot, 3, 5, 10, 8, 10, 2, 3 feet lengths, with various sizes. Or grounding either at home or I guess these could be used in a mobile situation also. So there's a lot of stuff out there. It's just got nowhere to look for it, I guess.
Sure. Just for everybody's benefit, I'm going to put the link to that that I just gave into the file for the email. So it will be there for you, as they say. So I think you'll find that to be interesting. That's a really good question. I'm glad you re-raised it, Randy, and Rick, thank you for your comments as well. Anybody else? Alrighty. I'll just turn it back to Randy to see if he has anything he'd like to add.
No, that's it for this evening. Thanks, everybody, for the advice and comments regarding my question. WU2S back to net control.
And that will be in the, you know, in the references for this evening's net. Alrighty. Let's see. Our next comment comes from K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay, good evening, all. K2ZO to K2BAR. I just want to tell you my story and what I'm doing. Noel, N2OEL, purchased one of these really neat fold-up spider-type beams. And this thing, it folds up into a package that's 1.5 meters long, a little less than that, and you can put it all together and bring it back out and put it on a pole, and it becomes a six-band, two-element on each band antenna. It is a bear to assemble. There are a lot of parts, but if you want to see what it looks like, go to the website. It's foldingantennas.com. Okay, one word, foldingantennas.com. And it's in German, but if you click, it'll translate over to English. And you can see the pictures of what this thing is. And the unique thing about it is that it uses a center pole where the driven elements are connected to. Rather than take all of the driven elements and bring them to one spot, you actually fabricate a coaxial type 50 ohm tube by inserting insulators and a insulated rod in the center. And the connections on this thing go from the outside shield, where the shield of the coax eventually ends up, to insulated portions to the center rod. And stacked up, these elements are one above the other. In other words, rather than bring them all to one spot, they're stepped all the way up. Hard to explain. Go take a look at the picture. Let me let it drop. This thing is a bear to assemble. There are a lot of plastic parts that have to be snapped out and put together. And the assemble of this coaxial centerpiece is incredibly difficult. You have to align six insulators on the center rod, and they all have to line up so that you can put screws through the tube, the aluminum tube, to make this thing work. You got to go look at the site to see what this thing looks like. And after that, you then put the PL259 on this thing, which is further down on this pipe, and I couldn't get it together without taking crazy glue and gluing the nuts to the tip of my finger so I could reach down in and put the thing together. It was quite a project. I put 8 hours into this thing, and I've got the mechanical thing assembled, but now I have to put all of the wire on it. So it's quite a project. But take a look at it. Very interesting. It's not a cheap antenna. Very well engineered, all stainless steel and plastic. But it's really something else. Folding antenna, foldingantenna.com. Back to that. This is K2ZO.
Question go.
ACTGI, Jim, did you buy a lottery ticket the other day after the tree almost took you out?
Yes, I did. what Rich is referring to is I sent out an email with a picture of a limb of a tree, a 12-foot limb, about 10 inches in diameter, fell off the tree. I was working in my backyard, sitting in the chair, putting this thing together, snapping out the pieces and snapping them together and doing all of the dog work before I put this thing together. And I finally quit because it was time to go to supper and put the thing back in a box. And 2 minutes after I did this, this tremendous limb fell down from the tree and crushed the chair I was sitting in.
How's your life insurance?
Not enough.
Yeah. I hear you. Good Lord. Okay. Well, God bless us. Jim, I guess it wasn't your time. It's a good thing.
My guardian angel was looking out for me.
No kidding.
Birthday is this weekend, and you know something? I think my guardian angel's got to be pretty old.
They're timeless, remember? Don't you remember your catechism?
Just joking.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about either this particular adventure in folding antennas or like, by the way, I'm using the Google browser, and it comes up automatically with a little pop up in the corner. It says, would you like to translate? Would you like to go back to the original? And that's pretty lovely, I'll say that. Alrighty. But there are other tools for that too. Anyway, anybody have anything else for Jim? Jim, anything you want to finish with?
Oh, that's about it. The only other thing I want to talk about is I'll tell you the secret that I learned from watching the industrial type people put grounds on things. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Neverseas makes a high temperature a copper based gel for use on bolts and nuts, and it is a bronze or copper based, and the guys that used to do that for us used to put that under all of the grounds. And they used to say that it didn't make any difference what the material was or what it was, but this was the best. They never had a problem with the ground using the high temperature Neverseas. You could buy it in a small tube, and unlike the silvery looking Neverseas with the aluminum, this stuff is based on copper. And of course it's copper bronze type looking, and makes a very, very good ground. Back to that, K2ZO.
WA2QBC comment.
WA2QBC. Go ahead, Bruce. Good evening.
Good evening, Gordon. The gray Parmatex, which you could buy in pretty much auto parts stores, it's not really conductive, only slightly conductive, unlike the copper version. But if you're putting in your grounding bolts properly and torquing them properly, you've got plenty of metal-to-metal contact. There should be no concern about ground continuity. So the gray stuff, not only is an anti-seize, but it helps prevent corrosion.
That's good. So what's that material called again?
It's from Permatex. It comes in little tubes up to great big containers. I use it a lot on automotive applications. It's called anti-seize, and it's gray, but there's also a copper version of it, which is conductive. The gray stuff is a combination of graphite, copper, and something else. But it's not overly conductive, unlike the copper stuff, which is spec to be conductive. And you can look up the specs on the web.
Your point is that, the copper-based is explicitly conductive, and the other stuff is not, but my guess is the gray stuff probably is less costly too.
I haven't compared prices, but I just bought a small container of it, 8 ounces, and it was about $7.30 in an auto parts place.
So, just give me some idea, how much surface would you think you would actually practically get out of an 8-ounce tube?
For us, a lifetime.
Got it, because it flows really well?
You put it on sparingly, just a light coating on the threads or the contact surfaces, and the metal to metal will continue, and the rest of it will, you know, prevent oxidation. It's waterproof. It's a number of other things proof.
Very good. And just if I could just ask Steve, WITW, what was the material you were using? Was it Never Seize or something?
Negative. It's No Oxid-A, I think, the jar I have. No Oxid, and I think there's hyphens between the no, the ox, and the id.
Okay. No Oxid, I got it. I've got that captured, too. As a reference. Okay. Thank you, Steve. Anybody else have any comments about this topic?
Just one other quick thought, Gordon. I don't know if it's the same material now, but we used to use NOx on electrical connections when you were trying to tie copper wiring into existing aluminum wiring. It was an antioxidant as well.
What was that material called again?
I just knew it as NOx, and you could buy it in Home Depot.
Steve, is that the same as NOxid, or is that something different?
No, I think that's something different. Is that NOx? Is that what you said? I didn't hear you. I was away from the radio for a second.
I just remembered it as NOx. I'll take a look at it later and see what the actual name is.
Well, if you're on the contact group, you can just throw it up there, okay?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I was going to go over and join.
Yeah, okay. No problem. What I do before the net's over, when the net's over, I should say, I check to see what incoming requests are for membership. I take care of those, then post the message from this net, so that way it becomes your first post-greeting message on the net. But very good. Thank you very much. Anything else from anybody on this topic of, you know, should we say, anti-seizure, anti-oxidation, chemical yummies?
N2NBR.
N2NBR, go, John.
About 15 years ago, there was a commercial on the air somewhere. I can't remember where I saw the commercial. But anyway, these are aluminum. I have in my hand, hot little hand here, aluminum rods. Melting temperature is 728 degrees. It's aluma alloy welding rod, it's described as. I guess you have to use propane on it at that temperature. But it's great for if you have an automotive or any other situation for that matter where you need to weld something using aluminum exclusively. That's what they tell me anyway. I bought it because I had a couple of aluminum ladders that needed to be touched up. But the problem was I didn't have a torch that would go up to 728 degrees. So it's sitting here gathering dust if anybody's interested.
Does it map gas go that high?
You referring to the corporate decision, corporate description?
No, I mean, map gas, I do believe that burns hotter than propane, right?
Yeah, I'm not at all informed on that one. Gordon, all I know is that whatever I had at the time, I since have got something that I think will do that job, but I've never tried it actually. But come to think of it, I did do an aluminum ladder once, and I think it worked. It was about 40 or 50 bucks, and that was 10 or 15 years ago in terms of a couple of dozen, aluminum rods. I guess you call them, Aluma alloy welding rods. Yeah, that's it. And I have a note to myself here that you have to use propane.
Oh, so you did use propane. So Aluma alloy welding rods. Yeah, that sounds good. So I have both a propane torch and a map gas torch. All right, very good. Somebody else is underneath you. Who was that?
This is K20.
Jim, go ahead.
Well, map gas is a mixture of a couple of the gases, propylene and propadiene. And, of course, it does burn hotter. I've used that aluminoy. That's the stuff that used to be advertised on TV late at night. And I bought some at the Hemp Fest out of Sussex. And what I used it for is I had a couple of aluminum panels that had holes in them. And I actually took them out in the backyard, got the old torch out, heated the thing up, and I actually filled the holes in the aluminum panel. And then I had to, of course, sand it down. Before I could paint it, but it did work. I was going to use it to put together a spider hub for a quad using aluminum. Never got around to doing that. I don't know if it would have worked for that. But that stuff that they sell at that late night TV thing with the alumalloy actually does work quite well. Back to that, K20.
This is the thing where the guy was at the Sussex Ham Fest welding aluminum cans together?
That's the stuff.
Town hell stuff. I got some of that stuff somewhere. Now the question is where? Well, tell you what, John, if you're ever down in the neighborhood and you're apart with some sticks, I'll take a couple. No problem. For exactly the kind of thing Jim was talking about, where I've got a bunch of aluminum panels, and that would be great filler material. That'd be absolutely wonderful. Anybody else on this topic?
Okay, Gordon, at the next luncheon or ham fest.
Please, that'd be great. That'd be absolutely wonderful. I will make Sussex this year. Amazingly enough, it's the 14th, if I recall. I do believe of July, I think I'll be there. Or that Sunday is 15th, so I don't know, let me look at the calendar. But anyway, anybody else have anything more on this topic? I think the Sussex Ham Fest is the 13th, actually. That's going to work out just fine by me. Alrighty. My little doggy just came up. I think I have to go on an adventure in order to get the dog outside. So we'll see, anyway, when that's over. George, you have anything more? KD2COL? KHBAR? I think you pressed your mic button down with a touch tone.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm assuming that call was for George. My question is, I recently purchased a Kenwood THD72A handy talkie, and I was curious if anyone knows of a mic speaker or adapter that I can plug in that would allow me to use the mic, just like a handheld mic, but also get the benefits of the keys like I would have on the MC59 mic that I have on my V71A. I didn't know if it was even possible. I got a no from the compatibility of the MC59 from Kenwood, but I was curious about other people's experiences. What do you know? Thank you.
That's a really good question. So you have a TH72AT?
Correct, the HT with the APRS.
with the GPS in it, and I was curious for when it's on my belt, if there was a mic that had the keys on it for all the numbers, et cetera, so that you have to keep taking it off my belt, and also save the wear and tear on the buttons that are on the actual HD.
It's a really good question. I was pulling down the manual. I was also looking to see if there's anything in the way of accessories for it. That's always a good thing. What did you see in the way of published accessories?
There's nothing on the Kenwood site or in the manual. Kenwood said no as far as compatibility with like their MC59 mic, which is the one with the, it's got the modular connector as opposed to the two-prong connector that typically goes into their HDs. What I was curious is I didn't know if there was an aftermarket adapter to go between that modular connector to the two-prong adapter that goes into the Kenwood or Roxon or I think the Bofangs have the same type of setup. I was just curious what other people knew if that was an option for me, aside from just getting the ability to do the speaker and mic, if I could get the keys that way too.
I haven't seen one. That's a really good question. There doesn't seem to be a speaker mic that has some or all of the function buttons. Like, I know on the THF6, which is an ancient radio in comparison, even the add-on speaker mic for that guy is limited to three specialty buttons and a plus an up-down button, if I recall. And that was it. So, you know, there's not a lot available for that. And that's a market that could be pursued, couldn't it? If you look at the manual for it, under connecting the transporter with the HF transceiver, you'll see that there's a couple of options for what's what on the D72 speaker mic jack. So clearly there's a protocol between a Kenwood HF radio and a D72, because all they provide is audio and ground, and I can't believe that's all that's actually running. Oh, there's a transmit and receive data connection too. So, you know, there's stuff going on there. It's a bidirectional serial interface of some sort. What you may want to do is see if someone has hacked the Sky Command System 2 protocol. Why don't you, search around for Sky Command System 2 decoders, interfaces, things like that. That might be your best bet. Okay.
Thank you. That's a good start. It's better than the direction I was headed, and it gives me something to research and potentially get what I need. I'll let you guys know how I make out. I appreciate the help.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to put this in there. The Sky Command System, Roman numeral 2, seems to be the key phrase. And, the cabling is already defined. The trick is to have the smarts. So what you're going to have to do is you have to find like a PIC chip or something like that that'll do the protocol and then embed it in the microphone, you know?
Yeah, that's a possibility. There's a lot of PIC options out there, and I have access to emulators and things like that to do my debugging, and that's my background. So I guess that's a good start. Thanks.
Mr. Rick, you have some thoughts at WFCN about this, maybe about PIC controllers that might be useful or available for such a thing?
Two
VAR. Let me just double check. I had the radio turned down for just a second. You're looking for PIC controllers? What are you trying to do? I just missed the last part of that conversation.
Some of the more modern Kenwood radios, they have what they call Sky Command or Sky Command System 2, which is just the updated protocol, and it allows you to control your HF radio from a VHF radio or UHF radio and other such fun things. So, you know, I'm thinking that it would be very, very useful if someone had built the PIC controller. I know, you know, we just need to get the protocol. I'm just trying to think if I found a PowerPoint demonstration on it, which I suspect is a, gee, this is how, this is what we're doing with it as opposed to something else. But let's see if I do Sky Command instead of decoder, let me say protocol. Wouldn't that be nice if it was documented somewhere? And is it? Yeah, apparently yes. There's a reference to AMSAT. If you just say Sky Command System 2 protocol, about the fourth item down, you'll see an email that someone said that they wanted to add that, what do you call it? So, apparently, there's some publication limitations. This is not necessarily, well, we'll see. It may or may not be out there, but there's an interesting email on the subject. But the whole point is Sky Command on any radio was the email chain from an AMSAT distribution group. So I think that we've kind of beaten that one to death. Anybody else have any thoughts?